We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Three. We're reacting to week 10 of NFL action on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We are two of the owners here at Roto-Viz. 10 weeks of the season are behind us. We are coming off, I have to bring it up. We're coming off an interesting game, Curtis, between Cleveland and New England. The Patriots just absolutely laying it on to the Browns. Have you recovered?
The Browns are totally broken, man. I think all the people who thought it was Odell's fault and all the people who thought it was Baker's fault, like, it's a Venn diagram of two totally separate circles, but also everyone was right in both circles. So, you know, I don't really know. Like, the Browns can run the ball well. That's basically all we know, is that Myles Garrett will continue to rack up sacks and the team will continue to be able to run in any game they play. But man, if for a Patriots fan like yourself, got to be feeling pretty great about Mac Jones. I mean, I'm sure we can get into this. And we talked a lot of rookie quarterback action and performance here to date last week, but Mac Jones, I mean, he's pacing to challenge Dak Prescott for the rookie completion percentage record. I mean, he's looking like he definitely belongs. He's only scrambled, I saw, like, famously, like, seven times all year. He's just getting rid of the ball, knows where the guys are supposed to be. And he's turning in journeymen like Kendrick Bourne into fantasy superstars. So, yeah, that was a fun game for the Patriots, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of positive outcomes so far for Jones. Feels like he and the team are getting better every week that passes. So as a Patriots fan, I'm pretty excited. And I think that we're going to start to see some more fantasy relevant production, as we talked about recently, down the road for this team. Hunter Henry's been crushing it. So I am excited there, but we need to find out who the player of the week is, Curtis.
There are so many worthy players this week. Some fantasy explosions from superstars. It's a three-way tie, though. It's a three-way tie for running backs who have justified the zero RB strategy in 2021. Nice. We had Darrell Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, and AJ Dillon all scoring more than 26 PPR this week, looking like total bell cows in their offenses. Darrell Williams, 11 carries for 43 yards, but the big storyline there, 9 receptions for 101 yards and a receiving touchdown. Basically doing all the things that Clyde Edwards-Helaire drafters had, you know, been secretly hoping he would do. Ramondre Stevenson, man, I mean, Damian Harris was out, but geez, it's going to be hard to keep him out of the rushing attack moving forward. 20 carries, 100 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and then caught 4 balls for 14 yards. Not really doing a lot there, but hey, we get the 5.4 points receiving. And then AJ Dillon, the big storyline here with him, and maybe he could rack up another player of the week performance in week 11, because Aaron Jones is probably going to miss anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. AJ Dillon made quick work of, you know, not quick work, but I guess he seized the role. 21 carries, 66 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns, and 62 receiving yards on just two receptions. So exciting stuff from later round running back targets and waiver wire fodder. Dave, who was your snoozer?
Oh boy. This one has to go to TJ Hawkinson, who I actually had to go back and verify, because I cannot say that I watched the entire Pittsburgh Detroit game. Had to go back and verify that Hawkinson didn't get hurt, that he actually was on the field and available. One target, zero receptions, a huge disappointment. You know, perhaps I could have gone somewhere else there this week, but that was one that really caught my eye. So TJ Hawkinson, the snoozer of the week. But that brings us into our game notes section. And I'm actually going to start right over, or stay in Detroit, if you will. And that's because this performance had me thinking that perhaps things have been a little bit bleaker for Hawkinson than they may have. Sometimes, you know, you have that visceral reaction to a bad performance. I'm not somebody that has Hawkinson on too many teams, but I can imagine if he was on one of your main teams, you might be panicking. So wanted to take a little bit of a look at Hawkinson here. In 66% of his games through the first eight games, Detroit had a week nine bye. He was a tight end one. He is coming off a solid stretch. He'd put up over 15 against Cincinnati, 11 against the Rams, and then a big day, 19 against the Eagles. Also, heading into week 10, he was the tight end four in expected points per game. And then even with the bye week, last week was tight end 14 across the last four games, only playing three where other players had played four. So it's not quite as bad as that performance might make you think, especially when you couple in how poorly Jared Goff has looked. The fact that this team looks like it might be fighting to record a win the rest of the season. But Hawkinson has been, you know, pretty well targeted. A couple of down games here and there, but more or less on the season has been at that eight and above range. 11 targets week one, nine week two, went down to two, eight, three. Then he's been at 11, nine, and 11. Of course, this one target game brings him down. But I'm more inclined to say that's probably a bit of a fluke. I can understand if you're a little bit shaken by this performance, but there, to me, at this point, isn't enough signal that Hawkinson is going to be, you know, a non-factor for fantasy the rest of the season. But on an exciting note, DeAndre Swift, man, just continues to pile things up. 33 rushing attempts over the weekend for 130 yards. Also added six targets, three receptions, 25 yards. He's now top 12 in rushing attempts, leads all other running backs and targets by a total of seven. His lowest point game of the year has been 8.9 fantasy points, and it's just been one hell of an impressive campaign, Curtis, for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. Swift definitely has played out exactly what Sean Siegel had hypothesized would be the case. You know, I'm thinking back fondly of some of our debates from our high stakes draft, our couple of high stakes drafts with you and I and Blair and Sean before the season. And this was the thought. This was the thought, is that the Lions would stink and Swift would, you know, really corral, you know, a high target share and, you know, continue to take more of the rushing opportunities as the season went on. And I mean, it's really played out like that, despite the Lions maybe even being more putrid than any of us would have thought, you know, they would have been. So yeah, a huge, huge victory for Team RotoViz and the draft approach there on Swift.
Yeah, for sure. And thankfully everybody was able to get me more on board with Swift than I was.
We were in the same camp there, Dave. Yeah. I was not feeling great. I was not feeling great, but that's why it's great to have, you know, a fantasy team of drafters.
Absolutely. All right. What do you have for us, over in the AFC?
Listen, let's go back to a team that we haven't talked about in the better part of a month, maybe a month and a half. Let's go up to Buffalo. Buffalo has a totally get healthy performance this weekend, just absolutely annihilating the Jets. And it was a get well game for Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, 13 targets, 8 receptions, a very staggering 208 air yards. and 162 receiving yards and a touchdown. So this is the type of performance, a classic Diggs performance that we grew accustomed to in 2020. And he finally gets it. They didn't really need it from him. But it's nice that, you know, they seem to be trying to prove a point, maybe keep him happy in his role. You know, Diggs has been a little bit emotionally fragile over the course of his career. And, you know, despite the Bills being competitive this season, you know, you need your alpha to be there for you, you know, mentally and emotionally. And so, you know, he really just did all the damage for the Bills. No other wide receiver or tight end had more than three targets. And so it was just all funneled his way. You love to see it. Josh Allen also looking pretty solid there. Basically the number two AFC quarterback for fantasy purposes in terms of his right arm there anyway. Some interesting notes, you know, Gabriel Davis outperforming Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley here, three receptions for 105 yards. You know, Davis, somebody that we've mentioned a number of times as a fantasy stash. So kind of keep your eye on that. I think it's probably more of a function of some of the depth of the receiving chart getting more run as that game went on. But let's keep an eye on that. Gabe Davis has flashed in the past. And then your boy Dawson Knox returning to the lineup. And so that gives the Bills that extra weapon moving forward. You know, for Diggs managers though, Dave, this could be the beginning of, you know, maybe like a 3-week hot streak. Buffalo, going over to our strength of schedule streaming app, Buffalo actually has the best wide receiver fantasy schedule of any team in the NFL in weeks 11 and 12. They face the Colts in week 11, followed by the Saints in week 12. This could be really like a corridor of the season where Diggs just really stacks up the production.
Well, I mean, the team certainly looks great when they use Diggs the way that he should be used, leverage him a lot. Exciting to see him record one of those classic Diggs type of performances. It's great to hear that the schedule sets up nicely, and hopefully we get to see that continue. I also wanted to highlight a team that we haven't talked about in a while, and this team came out fighting yesterday. Dallas laying the smackdown on the Falcons, beating them down 43-3. Ezekiel Elliott, two touchdowns in that game. I mean, they slaughtered them. In the team's last three games, I want to take a quick look at the breakdown of that backfield distribution. Elliott, 40 rushing attempts, Pollard, 142 yards for Elliott, 79 for Pollard. Neither player extremely efficient, both around that 3.5 yards per attempt rate. 12 targets for Elliott, 10 for Pollard. Putting them at target shares in the offense of 10.5 for Elliott, 8.8 for Pollard. So we were hoping at points that we'd get to see more Tony Pollard, get to see him step up. That has not come to fruition yet. In fact, Pollard's been a RB3 or worse every week except for week two of the season. In contrast, Elliott has been an RB1 3 weeks, RB2 3 weeks. And heading into this week, he was ninth in expected points per game at the running back position. Pollard was running back 54. So I'm actually going to stop there before we kind of focus on the receivers, because I think this is a question that's on a lot of people's minds. Is at this point in the year, what do you do with a player like Pollard? Does he still have the upside that we might have thought heading into the season just via the nature of being a backup for a guy like Zeke? And we're kind of thinking about this from a redraft perspective, right? So like, does he have that much utility right now? Or should you be, if you're in a league where you can only roster a small number of players, is he the type of guy that you move off of if you need some production in the immediate time, like in the moment, if you will, in the present?
I just don't think you can. You know, even in a shallow roster league, there's got to be somebody else on your squad. I mean, you better be rid of your backup quarterback, your backup tight end. And I mean, I would rather dump receiver depth than Pollard at this point. Like he hasn't really become the 1B in the offense that it looked like he might be, you know, in the later stages of 2020 and even at the beginning of this season through the first couple of weeks. And, you know, so that's a little bit disappointing. You know, he's not having that standalone. He's like something more than Alexander Mattison, but something less than AJ Dillon so far. Right. I mean, it's like, you know, he does just enough to show that the team is scheming some touches for him every week, which that's a positive, but he's still, I mean, he's the backup 101 amongst all running backs, right? Just as a function of the offense that he's in and what he's done when he's been the solo guy. And so I just can't imagine, kicking him to the curb. Like if you're in absolute desperation mode and you're in redraft and you're scrambling for playoff position, I would think you could at least try to float him to the Zeke owner who may want a handcuff, and maybe you can pry some more usable depth from that owner's bench. I can't imagine ever cutting a player, you know, with Pollard's upside.
Yeah. And I'm in agreement with that. And I actually was prompted to ask this because I received a question that kind of had the similar specifics to the question that I just posed to you. And that was my reaction as well, that you got to try to do it somewhere else. And that often the players that you might have that you think are going to give you a little bit of depth in the like next 2 to 3 weeks aren't going to make that outsized difference for your team, really push you over the edge that you might have if things break right for Pollard. Heading back in though, to looking at the team's offense, over the last three games, CeeDee Lamb at 25 targets, Amari Cooper at 22, Dalton Schultz at 14. Michael Gallup in his first game back, though, saw 5. So it will be interesting to see how things shift. To this point in the year, Cooper has the highest racer on the team, followed by Lamb. In terms of Whopper, Lamb is leading the team. Air yard share, 33% for Lamb, 26.4 for Cooper. Schultz is at 12.1, and then target share, Lamb is around 22-19 for Cooper. Gallup, I expect will crawl his way back up that listing. I think he'll probably land maybe somewhere around 13-14 over the next couple of weeks. And from a point basis, in those three games, Lamb at 52, Cooper at 41, and Cedric Wilson actually at 23.6, Malik Turner at 22, Dalton Schultz at 14.9. I just threw a lot of numbers out there, but really what I'm getting at is that we're starting to see some positive performances from this offense overall throughout the air. I think that Michael Gallup coming back will continue to allow this offense to be pretty stellar. So should be exciting to see what we get from the Cowboys throughout the rest of the season. Why don't we move back over to the AFC though?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, let's head to a really exciting spot. Another team that we haven't talked a lot about, but one of the true fantasy superstars of the 2021 season. And I think by the end of the year, maybe, you know, the most valuable player, non-quarterback in dynasty, perhaps. And that's Jonathan Taylor, just continues to slay. Dating back over the last 3 weeks, you know, the Colts have really consolidated the backfield work Taylor's direction. So since week 8, he's out carried Nyheim Hines 56-9. 358 rushing yards to just 88 for Hines, four rushing touchdowns to Hines' single touchdown. And then they're pacing just about the same in the receiving game, which was, you know, where even when Taylor was getting the rushing work, in games, you know, last season or earlier this season, Hines was still, getting a little bit more work, in the passing game, but 14 to 15 is the target count for Taylor versus Hines for the last 3 weeks. Taylor actually, catching 11 balls to Hines's 10 and has more receiving yards, 90 to 73. Over that period, it's 79.8 to 32.1 PPR, you know, Taylor with Derrick Henry going down, with Christian McCaffrey, being, you know, unavailable for most of the season until recently, you know, he's now tied for the league lead in rushing. This has really been a season where Taylor has kind of embraced that or achieved that stardom that so many of us believed he would achieve in his young career. So, you know, looking forward, one of the big worries in drafting Taylor at the beginning of the season was that deadly week 14 bye. Mm-hmm. And you know, when he started a little bit slow, the worry is, all right, like, you know, will I even get to a point where I can survive that bye? You know, there's fantasy leagues are gonna have all different types of formats with this being the first 18-week season with 17 games. You know, your league is probably running through week 17 now instead of week 18 or instead of week 16 in years past. And but in deeper leagues with 14 or more teams, or in formats, you know, maybe where more teams make the playoffs, or in like mega redraft tournaments like the Scott Fish Bowl, I mean, week 14 just carries a lot of importance. Could potentially even be the first week of the playoffs, or it's that pivotal, like gotta win and you're in situation. The good news is Taylor keeps balling like this, you're gonna be in the playoffs. That bye is not gonna matter. And then you get the week 15 through 17 situation for him and the Colts. He gets New England, Arizona, Las Vegas. New England and Las Vegas should both be games where, you know, the Colts can hang. The worry would be, you know, that Arizona game may be getting wide open. But if Taylor continues to get half of that receiving work moving forward, he's really not going to get scripted out of anything. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me. This Taylor almost seems matchup proof for a Colts team that is in or around most games anyway. So, you know, throw the absolute bank at him, and dynasty. And then in redraft, if a window has opened and you have a chance for one of these 2-for-1 deals and the Taylor manager is struggling, and needs those starting lineup points at multiple positions, now could be the time to pounce.
Well, it's been awesome to see this team start to realize what they have in Jonathan Taylor and use him the way that he should be used. So from a redraft perspective, looks like a slam dunk the rest of this season. Heading into next year, he should, you know, be firmly right at the top of, you know, maybe not the RB1, but I think there's going to be a definitive case that you can make for him being the RB1 heading into next season. So we will talk about that more, but very, very excited about Jonathan Taylor. The final team that I wanted to highlight was the Minnesota Vikings. And in particular, the wide receiver situation there. Through the first six games, we saw KJ Osborne play a pretty decent role in this offense, was averaging more than 10 points per game. Actually saw 35 targets through the team's first six games, had 311 receiving yards in those games, and two receiving touchdowns on 26 receptions. Since then, we have seen a bit of a shift in which Tyler Conklin has become the third look in the offense from a passing perspective, with 19 targets across the team's last three games. Osborne going down to just six. He has gone from averaging around 11 points a game to just two. We've seen Conklin go up from 8.6 to 12.1. Pretty interesting for Conklin over his last three games, 19 targets. That's a target share of almost 20%, 13 receptions, which is the same as Thielen, only one less than Justin Jefferson, has two touchdowns in those games and 113 yards. So pretty exciting stuff there. The other thing that I was curious about was if there has been a bit of a shift in the way that Thielen and Jefferson are being used and in their scoring. We still see a target share for Jefferson That's above 20%, as you would expect. However, he was at a 26% target share through the team's first six games. That has gone down to around 21, with a pickup for Thielen going from 22 to 24. And the other thing that's worth noting is that we've seen a bit of a fall off in their efficiency at scoring fantasy points in the last three games, at least. Jefferson going from 18.6 through the team's first six games down to just 14.6. Thielen also taking a step back from 17.8 to 13.3. Now, Minnesota does face an average passing or strength of schedule for wide receivers in its passing game through the rest of the season. So there's been a bit of a drop off. What made me look into this was I had gotten the sense from reading stuff on Twitter that people had thought that Jefferson might have not lived up to what they wanted this year. I think some of that stems from the fact that he's only had three wide receiver 1 weeks. However, he was the wide receiver 11, at least heading into this Monday night game. So we'll have to see how things shake out there. Could move those rankings just a little bit. But I still think overall it's been a positive year for Jefferson. So this Minnesota offense playing out more or less like we may have thought. And I think that people that managed to get Tyler Conklin are feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah. I don't know of a team that has been more confusing at kind of the third target getter than the Vikings over the past couple of seasons. But I love that highlight there. And I'm going to have to pay a little bit more attention to Conklin myself. And dynasty, especially in some of my shallower dynasty leagues. I'm not even sure if he's actually in some of my shallower non tight end premium dynasty leagues. I'm not sure he's even rostered everywhere. So I'm making myself a note to go look into that, Dave. Going back over to AFC, another surprise tight end, and maybe the unlikeliest of places, a team that famously rostered Tim Tebow to compete for tight end looks in the offseason. Don't look now, Dave, but over the last 3 weeks, Dan Arnold has 24 targets. Dan Arnold, man. He's caught 17 balls for 195 yards. He's leading all target getters in Jacksonville, all non-running back target getters, with 38.5 PPR over the last 3 weeks. Dan Arnold, the premier weapon of the Jaguars passing attack. It's crazy to think. And then the other surprise name here, and I think both these guys have some dynasty utility, and they could both be available in redraft as well. Jamal Agnew.
Yep.
Jamal Agnew, adding some, big splash plays in the rushing game. And I mean, he's easily outpacing LaVisca Chenault and Marvin Jones and the rest of the receiving core there. He has 22 targets over the last 3 weeks, has only caught 9 balls for 65 yards and a touchdown, but has added 90 on the ground with the rushing touchdown there. So not very efficient in the passing game quite yet, but he has as many receptions as LaVisca Chenault and just one fewer than Marvin Jones over that period. When you think about like the consistency of these players too, it's not necessarily just like the spike weeks, especially in the case of Dan Arnold. 4 weeks in a row now with 5 or more targets, including 7 or more in 3 of those 4 games on the season. He's tight end 11 in targets, tight end 11 in receptions, tight end 11 in receiving yards, and tight end 11 in team target percentage. This is why every season, if you don't go elite tight end, it makes sense to just wait and draft a couple. This is what put us on Dalton Schultz. We have Dalton Schultz all over our portfolio at Team RotoViz this season. Now he's done it a little bit more to the upside than Arnold, but Arnold, I mean, easily, a plug and play guy who wasn't even really drafted. His ADP wasn't really registering a blip, and then he changed teams in, mid season. So, he could have been on his couch just as easily as he could have been leading the Jaguars in receiving over, the second month of the season. So anyway, those are two players to go kick the tires on in redraft for some opportunity-based production. And then in dynasty, who knows? Who knows, especially in tight end premium, Dan Arnold a priority if he's available on your wire.
Well, my buddy Zach Kruger has been talking up Dan Arnold to me for a long time now. So I was fortunate enough to have him on a roster too. And it's actually been to the point, Curtis, where I have teams where he's getting in my lineup over wide receivers, and deservedly so. So always fun to see some exciting names that we weren't expecting come out. Glad to make our way through the Week 10 action. We will be back later this week with our two episodes. As always, I have received one question already this week that we are going to talk about perhaps Wednesday night, because I want to get this question, or what will come out Wednesday morning. I want to get this question answered for that listener. Anybody else out there, you have a compelling question that you want to ask, maybe even just a question about your team, always makes for a good topic. So please float it our way. Curtis, anything to add? If not, we'll get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.